I lost 11 pounds, guys.
Shut your mouth.
Fuck!
I know. How are you going to buy tickets to that footy match now?
Since January... asshole. Since January 1, I've lost 11 pounds.
Here's a fun fact. Justin weighed 11 pounds when he was born. I don't know if he likes me putting that stat.
I lost a baby Justin.
Justin, a baby Justin fell off of Justin.
Is that a true fact?
Which part?
You weighing 11 pounds when you were born?
He was.
Yeah, I was a big boy.
Oh, my God.
When I was born, our doctor, who I believe was Valerian was his name, said, big baby, big baby. That's what he said, because I was a big boy.
As it happens, I was also an enormous baby.
Were you?
I was huge.
Last weekend at the enormous man adult baby convention.
Yeah.
That you went to.
Yeah.
I want to keep the focus on my...
Sorry.
Yeah, so I don't want to take away from your...
Yeah, it's a big achievement. I've been waiting to share it with somebody.
What's your secret?
My secret? Not eat like a dirt bag.
Yeah.
It was really like... I really was eating, especially towards the end of the holiday season there. It was getting
real. I was at your house.
No, it got real up in there. And that was like the big thing was... And I've always tried to do, I guess what you would call, not crash diets, but in the past I've typically gone with some sort of extreme method of weight loss. I actually did Atkins.
Oh, yeah. No bread.
Lost 70 pounds.
Shut up.
On Atkins. I did. No,
he did.
But then you wanted to kill yourself?
Every day.
Yeah.
It was a struggle to keep the gun and barrel out of my mouth.
But then he looked at a landscape painting of a field of wheat, and he gained 80 pounds.
That was less than ideal. So I'm just trying to eat, like, food that's good for you, nutritional, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almond.
Are you exercising as well?
That's not going crazy. McElroy, and I know the best game in the league.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know it too.
My name is Chris Plant, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Russ Rush, and I know the best game of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Besties. We're four of Earth's best friends, also happen to be Polygon co-workers. Talk about the latest and greatest that in game releases, and sometimes not latest, and sometimes not even that great.
I like how you had to put an asterisk next to best. Like, we are the best friends, the world's best friends that also work together at Polygon.
Together at Polygon, right. Of the people at Polygon, we are some of the best friends there. So we're going to talk about the hot new titles. This week, what you guys been playing? What's good? What's hot? What's popping? What's fresh?
I've been playing a lot of Temple Run 2.
Yeah, I'm into that too. Kind of fell into that whole Temple Run thing.
It's kind of funny because we've been basically complaining for the last year that like every other week iOS has another shitty Temple Run clone coming out.
And now the shittiest Temple Run clone of them all.
Well, yeah, it's just funny because they didn't change that much, but they changed enough that I just cannot put it down.
Now, I'll be honest, I did not play the first Temple Run very much.
Okay.
Can you sort of quantify some of the big differences?
Sure. So in the first Temple Run, you're running through a temple.
Sure.
This one, pretty much the same deal. You're running through a temple.
Thank you. Stop wasting my time.
Okay.
I'm getting older.
You didn't want to mention the samies. Okay, so differences.
I don't need you to mention that it takes place in a goddamn temple, and your main mode of interacting with it is running.
Differences.
I'm going to be really honest with Griffin. Really quick, if you're worried about wasting your time and your life, Temple Run is not the game you should be playing. That's
right,
yeah.
Let me talk about what's different this time around. First of all, the temple has changed. It's now like an Asian-themed temple, and it's far more dangerous. The graphics are also a lot better. It looks like the original Temple Run was like super blocky and designed to run on like an original iPhone. This is, you know, full Retina display graphics and looks quite good on an iPhone or an iPad.
I use an iPhone 4 and it actually runs really smooth without a hitch.
There. Yeah, they did a good job with scaling it.
It's well optimized.
And the other big thing they added was customizable perks. So before, you would fill up this meter as you collected coins, and when you hit the top of the meter, you'd just get a big score boost. Now you can actually pick what power-up you get when that meter fills up. So if you want it to be like a magnet or a speed, like an infinity run, invisibility like thing, you can do that. So there's more customization there. And they added challenges and stuff. And it's free, which the original was not free when it launched. So that's pretty much top and bottom Temple Run 2.
Did it have the gym system in it? I don't remember the gym system.
Is that like you win gym badges when you go to the different gyms in Pokemon?
Yeah, that's basically the... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
No. Oh. The gym. How do you say the word?
Gym.
You're the worst.
See, I don't know if you know this about Russ, but he makes fun of the way everyone else sounds with their regional dialects.
Right. Because it's hilarious.
Okay. When I say gym... Gem.
You should say it like Jim
when you pick up the gems. was that system in the first Temple Run? I don't remember.
Picking up like coins and stuff.
No.
God, oh, the jewels. You're talking about
gems.
The gems.
Yeah. So the gems.
That's new. They added that.
It feels to me, and I didn't play that much of the original Temple Run either, but that they were like, 2 days after Temple Run 1 came out, they're like, ah, fuck, we should have put some like sweet microtransaction hooks in here.
Say, when it first came out, I don't think anyone had any idea that the free-to-play thing was going to happen. So that sort of happened later on in development. But there's definitely a lot more. Like, this time, you're not paying for, like, extra lives. Like, as you die, you make a decision, oh, I'm going to spend gems to revive myself.
That's the thing. Like, when I started playing, I was like, this is one of those free-to-play microtransaction-based games where I'm not going to spend any money. And then the first time that I made it, like, 2,500 meters, or that's not very far, but I made it, like, pretty far, mm-hmm. and then I died. I was like, oh, fuck, I got to buy some of these things.
Yeah.
And it scared me.
Well, what's nice is that they're very generous. Like, you get a bunch of them, and
mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like you need to really spend real money.
I actually have I have not bought anything. But I think that it's actually one of the problems I have with it is the idea of being able to buy your way back in if you die, because I think that especially for a score chase game like this, that sort of invalidates some of the purity of it for me. Like,
right.
It reminds me almost of it's similar to a problem I had with
Jetpack Joyride.
Chip Chain.
Oh,
Well, sure. Jetpack Joyride and Chip Chain.
Well, Chip Chain had the, and this also kind of has that system in that it scales the more you spend the gems to respawn. It costs one the first time you die, and it'll rewind time a little bit and give you a little bit of invincibility. And then the second time it costs two gems, and so on and so forth. So it really does discourage. I don't know if there's a cap to it. I've only gotten up to like four gems and then stop spending it. But Chip Chain does the same thing, where Chip Chain says you can only use this one particular card like two or three times, and then you're locked out.
Right. I think the big bummer of free-to-play iOS games is that some of the best arcade-style games, like the days of yore when you would chase high scores, are coming out on this platform, but they're tied to monetary systems that make it impossible to compete unless you're willing to continue to dish out cash, which is basically like an arcade. Basically, if you want to get the high score, you need to be putting in quarters every time.
Or a lot of time. Essentially, in this game, I think you can compete and get the high score. So the issue is, I don't think there is a cap for like how many times you can buy back in, but it doubles every time. So eventually, you're going to need like 64 gems to revive yourself. So theoretically, if you're really good at the game, you're going to be like, okay, this is my high score run. I'm going to spend every goddamn gem I have to beat everyone else. And that is obviously contrary to the spirit of classic arcade games. But what are you going to do? I mean, I don't...
I also think it's kind of weird that the... So as you're running, you have different sort of... there's a lot of metrics to keep track of. You have the bar that fills up, your power-up bar that fills up as you run, and then you have a distance that pops up every once in a while, and then you have a number of coins that you've collected And also you can keep track of the number of gems, though it's not surfaced, how many gems you've collected in a run. And it's like, there's a lot of, I don't understand exactly like why there's a score when I'm already tracking like my number of coins and my distance. It just seems like a lot of information to keep track of.
Well, the
and
high again, score, like, yeah, I was going to say the high score is reliant on your like multiplier and stuff like that. And that's what keeps the longevity.
There's a multiplier?
Yeah, a score multiplier. That like every time you complete an objective in the game, this was in the original Temple Run, but every time you complete objective, like we'll run 50 meters without getting any coins, you get one increase to your multiplier. So that will eventually, like someone that's playing the game for the 100th time is at a huge advantage compared to someone that's playing for the first time, because the 100th time person has a multiplier that's like way crazier. It's
and here's that, the other problem
that was in Tiny Wings, by the way, that same
there's
system.
An additional multiplier that you buy with in-game coins, and it is extremely expensive.
Yeah.
So you either have to play a ton to unlock it or just buy it outright.
Yeah. This is my problem, and why I'm probably not going to play Temple Run 2 anymore, and like why I just can't get jazzed about endless runners, and it's because they're endless and you can't beat them. And that's an issue for me, because it 100% of the time, except for maybe like I think Jetpack Joyride was pretty good about it, but like most of the time, like shit like that is the only draw that the game has. The only draw that the Endless Runner game has is maybe it'll hook you, that score chasing element to it. And that's like its biggest strength, and that's what it sells itself on. And then when they make it pay to win, if that is what you consider winning, beating your friend's high score, like then it is, don't make any, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's pay to win. Like, I just, no thanks. Like, no matter how good I get, like, I'm still going to have to pony up more dough to do it.
I wouldn't say it's a dumb thing to say, because it's pay or play to win, because you need, you could just spend a shitload of time playing it and have an advantage too.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't played enough of it to know if it's for sure like that. Like that's why I stopped playing Monsters Ate My Condo, which I think Planet, yeah, you and I talked about how like that one, you have to use the score multiplier right from the top. And like, it's so unbelievably expensive that you just like, you shell out money or you play for like an hour or two until you have enough money to pay for the one thing that gives you the one good run. Like that is just so not, that's just not appealing to me anymore.
I think the difference between this and a lot of these that I've played is that it is actually, and I think I would probably separate even Jetpack Joyride, is that it is fun to play. There's enough going on here, enough different sort of, you know, you slide underneath fire and then you jump over a rolling log and then you hop into a mine cart and suddenly you like have to keep track of like where your path is and how many wheels you can have on the ground at any one time because the track keeps breaking. It's not like, you know, playing it is kind of its own reward. It's fun and not, you don't have to get obsessed with, you know, distance too.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I have fun playing it on, you know, I'm in the subway and just need to kill 5 minutes. It's a fun game to do it with.
I will say I found it almost impossible to play it on an iPad. I got it on iPad first and then I had to switch to
iPhone. Too big.
It is. It's too big. Like, because you have to tilt it pretty drastically to like move from one end of the court to the other. Not on the iPhone, because the iPhone you don't have
it to. It also works well on an iPad mini, for what it's worth.
Yeah, that might be better. And also, like, you have to swipe. And like, if you just have your hand in the corner of the screen holding the iPad, then like, it's not going to detect it some of the time when you just sort of swipe there in the corner.
You need bigger
guns. Which is kind of a bummer. Like, I really don't play any games on my iPhone really at all.
Griffin, you should really go to the gym.
Oh man.
Like, why though? Why do you say these things?
how was? Can we move on?
Yeah. Actually, I just got a
text. Do you think you're going to keep playing Temple Run 2, or do you think it's now that besties, now that we've discussed it, you're going to
leave? I might still play it, but I do want to say I just got a text message and someone is on their way up to my apartment and I'm a little worried about it.
Are you safe?
Did you guys hear that?
Are you okay?
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Russ, can you hear us?
I feel like we might not be safe.
Hello, besties.
Is that who I think it is?
Oh, yes, it is I, Jean-Baptiste?
Jean-Baptiste, what an odd... Now, this is a Jean-Baptiste, if you're not aware, is a...
A world-renowned
indie developer. Visionary.
I have a question. Where is Roz?
He is here. I have moved him away from the mic. He is like very sore.
Like a small dog?
Yes. Why? I am keeping him away with my foot.
Okay.
I am not very happy.
You were dead, though. We buried you.
Rumors of my death were greatly exaggerated.
We put you in the ground. I saw the body.
Did you?
Oh man! Who did we bury?
Who did we bury? That's the real question.
Besties, I'm not very happy.
What brings you to our show? What are you upset about?
Very sad. This game you talk about, the Temple Run 2. This is my game.
Ah.
This is my game. This is not... Who made this game? Because this has Jean-Baptiste's signature in the lower right-hand corner.
Jean.
Yes.
Can I call you Jean?
Yes.
Or... Okay. You know that if you made a game called Temple Run 2, which was basically Temple Run after Temple Run came out, the company that made Temple Run can still make Temple Run 2. You understand that you can't just...
I did not make a game called Temple Run 2.
What did you
that
make?
That would be silly.
He asked.
Well, my game is more thoughtful about life experience. So in my game, you are a man and you are running through a temple, so to speak.
Sure.
But instead of running, I apologize for saying running because that is not accurate. Instead of running, you are at a slow jog.
Okay.
It's more of a trot, really.
What is the name of this title?
It is called Temple Trot.
Temple Trot. Okay.
Temple Trot 2.
So
now I don't remember Temple Trot 1.
Yeah, I actually
there was no Temple Trot 1.
Interesting.
It's straight to 2 because Godfather 2 is my favorite movie, so I thought
it's the best. It is widely regarded as the best one.
This would be my just skip to 2. Empire Strikes Back is better. Just skip to 2.
Can you give me just a brief? Because I'm all about the. I don't know if we haven't met before, but like I'm all about the gameplay.
Sure.
What are we talking about here?
Well, you're lightly jogging or trotting through a temple, and there are gems that you collect.
Like a workout gem?
Yes. So you are collecting cards that let you into different gems around the world. And you can use those bathrooms in the gems to shower or work out, whatever you'd like.
People don't usually work out in the showers of public gems, but that's beside the point. If you're jogging already through the temple...
Trotting.
If you're fucking trotting, wouldn't like why do you need to go to a gym also to like get healthy if you've already got
when you are in the gym, you are running fast, running and jumping and sliding under different obstacles,
okay,
and collecting coins and jewels and gems, but not
you're
like
it sounds
gyms.
Like you're robbing the gym, you're robbing people.
No, yes, well. Yes and no. It's more about health, exercise, and robbing people.
Okay, so it's an it's an Exer game, is what you're describing.
Precisely, yes.
Is it Kinect enabled? It sounds like
it is Kinect enabled, but only my Kinect. It is spelled with a C. I do not like Microsoft Kinect. They stole my idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to be a recurring theme for you, Jean-Baptiste.
It is a daily crime I must live through.
Can I inquire, because I know that you have some money, right? Like, you have something.
Yes.
You have to have some money.
I have francs.
Okay, well.
Sure.
I think you had to exchange those.
I tried to spend them, but they will not take them. I have many, many francs. Would you like francs for dollars?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm pretty set. What I'm saying is maybe you can find someone who will take those francs and is also a patent and copyright lawyer. Maybe you could look into that, and then we would never have to hear from you again.
I can get the games pulled and my games replaced by them and all their money.
And you can just live. You can live off that. You could go to space like Richard Garriott, and you can die in space on life.
I went to space before Richard Garriott.
How was it up there in space?
Eh.
Okay.
Well, thank you for hearing my plight, besties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I will be off now.
We didn't have much choice.
No, you did not.
Good talk. Good talk, JP.
Oh, God. That guy.
That guy, right?
He's always butting in.
Yeah. Can you lock your door?
Oh,
like,
it's locked. It is locked.
Well, before we start recording the next besties, like, it's already too late to prevent the one that just happened.
That ship done sailed.
Yeah. The issue is I have my key in one of those rocks, and it's pretty obvious. Like, I forgot and I wrote key on the rock, so people generally know.
But you can, like,
you can
throw that away or something.
Yeah, he texted you that he was coming.
He was coming up, yeah.
But then he used the stone key.
Yeah, well, I didn't. The door was locked. He needed to get in.
The funny thing about breaking into someone's house is usually you don't text them before you do it.
Yeah.
He didn't.
You had forewarning. You could have burned your apartment down before he got in there.
That's true. I could have done that. I didn't think about that. Next time. Well, next time.
How was everyone's week?
It was kind of wild yesterday. We had Nintendo, and then THQ.
Oh yeah, yesterday was bonkers.
Can we just talk about that?
Let's talk about that THQ because there is so much biz. Let's talk about this. If the four of us pooled our money together, and I haven't looked into this.
Go on.
But could we pool our money together and buy the 50 Cent Blood on the Sand license?
Here is why I'm concerned about that, and I'm shooting you really straight. Okay.
Yeah.
You use that time hop joint on your iPhone?
Yeah.
Go with me here.
I don't know what that means.
Time hop is like, it's like a thing that tells you what you were doing on social media like a year ago or like five years ago, right? So my time hop goes off yesterday and it's like, hey, do you remember a year ago today when you tweeted that 50 Cent Blood on the Sand was still $59.99 on Xbox Live Marketplace? I was like, I don't remember that. But that game is still super expensive, I found out. So my concern is that maybe that's why we didn't hear anything about it yesterday, because that's like the most expensive thing THQ has to offer.
Maybe, but it's also...
They haven't opened the market to their IPs yet. It's just their studios.
Oh, that must be the problem. Because
that's what's going on.
And that's why they would want to wait, because they know.
That's not true.
What?
That thing you said is not true. I mean, they sold the Evolve IP, and that wasn't...
They sold Saints Row.
Well, right, but Saints Row came... He's saying that independent IPs, Saints Row came as part of the package deal with Volition.
Right.
Evolve is a third-party contract.
Made by Turtle Rock.
Title. Yeah, but they didn't sell Turtle Rock. Turtle Rock wasn't theirs to sell.
Oh, maybe because it hasn't come out yet? Maybe it's existing
IPs?
Yeah,
it's their upcoming IP. I think it's their back catalog titles.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
We're concerned about. And... yeah, those still have to be.
So, like, Darksiders and other ones that
Hopefully
they made.
Hopefully somebody's going to fucking pick up Vigil. That's the craziest.
I feel bad. But I mean, basically, their problem is that they're so far from releasing their next game, and it's so early in development that it's such a crapshoot whether it would succeed.
And also, their past two titles were exceptional and also not, like, super smash hits.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't set the world on fire.
Right.
What we're talking about now isn't particularly funny, but the idea of the four of us buying the 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, I feel like that's got legs.
I can buy the $60 digital version, maybe, if we pull our money together.
I have something funny to say. Everyone was very sad yesterday, and obviously I am sad for the people who lost their jobs. That's not funny, and I want to say up front that I'm sad for them. But THQ as a company, there was a lot of, like, the interesting thing that was absent from that, like THQ basically like dying on the table, is that THQ was not a very good company.
No, well, was there anyone like ever bemoaning?
No one was. This publisher has been around since 1991, and no one, like, it was never good.
That is not. Never that's good. Not true at all. The things you're saying are false.
Turok. I'm not saying they didn't have. I'm not saying they didn't have good games.
Do you remember back in, when they came out in 2007 and 2008 and were like, we are not going to make shitty licensed games exclusively anymore.
Yep.
We're going to start doing dope shit. And then soon thereafter, they did Red Faction Armageddon. Wait, Armageddon? Was that the dope
one? No, the one before it. No. Gorilla.
Oh, man. Good.
You're
good
right.
Stuff.
They kept it together for one game but here's, in the franchise.
Here's and the Saints Row the Third, which was possibly my favorite game that came
fantastic
out.
Fantastic.
I'm not saying they didn't make good games. I'm saying it's the point I'm trying to get across is that this is they have been an entity for 20 years now, and like no one has. There's not like an attachment or even like really much of an identity.
Yeah, it's not like
to this company.
It's not like Nintendo Power when Nintendo Power went under and everyone was like, oh, I remember getting my first Nintendo Power. No one's like, oh, that one classic THQ game I played in 1994. Memories. Like, no one has fond memories.
What I'm saying though is that this is a company that exclusively published like shitty to mediocre license games
or ports
that would like nobody or ports yeah that like nobody liked, but because it had SpongeBob on the cover it would sell enough to help them get by, and eventually they said we're sick and tired of just being a company that releases games that aren't respected by the industry and by the community at large, so like it's not enough for us to just get by, we want to start, you know, taking some risks with some of the IPs that we haven't come up with some new IPs. And they did, and, like, maybe some of them weren't awesome, but, like, the fact that they were willing to do that...
Yeah.
I think that strategy was paying off for them until they made, like, one or two
The weird thing about mistakes. Them is that for the good games that they managed to come out with, they had a tendency to bet big on the flops.
Well, I think
you know they bet big on Homefront, which yeah. was a turd. They bet and, big on U-Draw.
Well, they bet the like biggest on U-Draw.
What were you saying, Plant?
Yeah,
to go off what Griffin's saying, it's not entirely different than what they were doing before, even when they had these new IPs, because they just flipped the kind of path that the trajectory of a property has. It used to be, oh, here's wrestling or here's SpongeBob. And we're making a game off of it. But around 2006, they had the idea of, okay, we'll make the game, but before it's even finished, we'll sell the comic book and we'll sell the TV show. And yeah. You're right, they bet big. But the idea was still to kind of do something similar where it was like, hey, we're not just going to buy these properties anymore. We're going to be where those properties start and people will start buying from us. And that whole, you know, like transmedia idea that was really big in the mid-2000s,
such a bad idea.
It pushed back so hard on them. So they stopped doing what made them money and just made them a stable company and started doing something that was maybe people look back and say it was ahead of their time, but definitely did not work for them at all. And man, remember the Red Faction TV series or
that they game? Released maybe months. They released that around the same time as Armageddon, and then they're like, well, we're fucking Red Faction's done. Like, that was a good expenditure of our money.
De Blob had the same thing. I mean, almost all their properties had some form of that. I mean, De Blob. Like, I mean, I liked De Blob 2 a lot. I wrote a great review on Joystick for Justin, but
I remember
they wanted every property to have that kind of, you know, cachet.
You know what they did? You know what property they did really well by? And I'm curious as to if anyone's going to pick it up, is Stuntman. Stuntman Ignition, in my mind, like
that's a great game.
It's hard to make a game that's better than like it's so. That game is a perfect ass game, and like that's just because they bought it from Atari, who didn't know what the fuck to do with it, and then they made it awesome, and then they never did anything with it again.
I can see that coming back on iOS or something.
I have a big idea.
Shoot.
Let's take that money that we were saving for 50 Cent. Let's buy Stuntman Ignition. Let's remake it in Ultra HD, remix to Ignition.
Oh, yes. Fuck, that's good. That's I don't really think good. I'm not sure that THQ has the rights to 50 Cent's Blood on the Sand, because if like Zynga bought it and turned it into like, I don't know, a horse breeding game, but 50 Cent was in it, I think 50 Cent could object to the use of his name and likeness.
I think that could be a problem. God. Can you imagine what sort of pitch, what sort of snow job they must have given to Patrice Desilier to get him to like sign on to this ship that was apparently the whole time like hemorrhaging?
Well, I think the pitch was, we're going to make you not have to make the same game over and over
again. Yeah, you could do whatever. It was a blank check to do whatever we wanted. Like, why wouldn't you sign
literally
up for that?
It was a blank check. It was a blank check.
It wasn't actually signed.
Just don't cash it. We are going to need till the weekend to cover that. If you could just hold off on cashing your blank check.
Oh, THQ.
I'm getting bummed. Let's.
Yeah, the good thing is most of the studios got picked up in some capacity. Yeah.
Some capacity, and will there be redundancies? Like, probably. You betcha. And the only thing, and I don't mean to like mock THQ. Obviously, it produced a lot of good stuff. I think it's so weird to have a studio that makes it, that lives for so long but doesn't really find an identity. And maybe that's like the legacy of THQ, really, is it sort of schizophrenic, trying to find its place.
What's ultimately heartbreaking is, like, I feel like THQ had like reached its zenith. Like, they were, maybe not, that's not fair, because they probably could have gone even higher, but like the games that they had in development sounded dope. Like, whatever Patrice was working on, like, that sounded cool. Whatever Turtle Rock was working on, like, another cooperative action game from the people who made Left 4 Dead, like, yup, that sounds pretty good, too. And, like, I'm sure Saints Row 4 was going to be baller. Darksiders 2 is fantastic. And, like, I'm sure whatever Vigil was working on was great. Like, they finally had this direction. And they had, like, Jason Rubin, who was, like, so enthusiastic about all this stuff and had all these big plans and was so supportive. And then, like, in like the matter of 2 weeks, going from like, okay, things are shitty, but we're gonna, you know, keep things together by selling to this company, and then we can sort of adjust from there, to like literally overnight a judge ruling, no, that's not going to happen, basically your company is about to get devoured by vultures, like, that's fucking heart, that's legitimately like one of the saddest stories that's happened since I've been covering games.
Except actually that gamer with no feet was pretty sad too.
Yeah. Okay. Next. What's the next game we're talking about?
Talking about DMC. Devil May
Cry.
DMC. Devil Gets a Haircut. People don't like it.
I can't. Can you guys explain it to me? As far as I can tell from reading comments, is that his hair is different, and that the frame rate is like 58 frames per second or some shit. Like, what is it?
What?
What?
Why do people not? They say the frame rate's different, so they can't get the good combos.
Oh, it's bad. Okay, so people are, because I would say 58 frames per second is pretty damn good.
Down from 60. Wait, what was it? 30? They like that 30 FPS. What's the good frames that people like?
60. They like 60.
People like 60.
People like 60, but that's hard. That one's hard to do. So I think most people go for 30, which is crazy because that's like half the frames.
I think sub 30 people have issues.
I think that this new DMC, from what I know, which is nothing, is that it's 28 or 27.
If only someone in this group knew more than how many frames per second the game runs at.
Oh, so this game. Do you guys want me to tell you about it?
Lovely.
Yeah, why not? I'd like to keep talking about the frame
rate. I'm going to talk about this game as somebody who didn't really play much of the original. So, I don't know. Everyone who...
That's what people want to hear.
That's what they want to hear, because...
That's what the enraged masses want to see.
So, you play as Dante, and... You are the child of the devil. No, you're not. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. Please don't
attack me. Oh, you just spoiled the ending.
So, no. You're the child of a demon and an angel, which makes you a Nephilim.
Yep.
And, okay, so the story of the game is you find this out, and you've been living in a trailer in the middle of a fun house, like a carnival, on the docks, which... How can you get creepier than being a guy who lives naked most of the time in a ratty trailer near where all of the children in your city hang out?
Is he really naked, or is he just wearing underwear?
Well, the first time you meet him, he's naked, and then he like falls into his clothes.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah, Kotaku made me watch that.
Yeah,
Kotaku was like, does he have a dick or not?
He falls into his clothes.
Freeze frame. We freeze framed it right on his dick where it isn't. I was like, why are we doing
Come
this?
Solve this mystery with us.
No wiener. So yeah, so what you do is you're a Nephilim and you need to fight this demon guy who has sex with like an old woman, because he's bad. And basically the gist of this story, from what I gather, is he runs the banks of the world. And at the beginning of the game, he goes, I'm about to...
He runs the banks? Do I know
he
him?
He runs all the banks.
Oh, God.
And he's on the phone,
that
right?
That was a Jewish
he's
joke.
Like,
yeah, gosh. Got it.
Okay, so he's on the phone, and he's like, if you don't give me what I want, then I will destroy the world's economy. Have a good night, Mr. President.
Wait, he was talking to Dante when he said this?
No, he's on the phone, and he realizes
he's talking to the American president.
Oh, okay.
And then the old woman
Michael
goes,
Douglas.
The old woman goes, is the world your bitch like I'm your bitch?
This is the president, too, talking?
This is just the beginning. So then you find out that your brother, Gabriel, I think, please don't crucify me if that's wrong.
Virgil,
oh, thank you. Whatever, an angel.
You're welcome.
So
it's all
he
Bible
is the leader
shit.
Of Anonymous, and you have to stop the banks, which control a Fox News affiliate, and that's one major bad guy. And then, have you ever seen that Slurm episode from Futurama?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have to fight that, because the soda is brainwashing us, and it is produced the way Slurm is produced.
Wow. So they just fucking, like... Everything but the kitchen sink, thematically speaking.
It's Futurama meets They Live.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and there all these things are written on the wall that I guess only you can see.
It sounds like whoever wrote this was a big fan of Reddit, because this is basically every Reddit topic ever, with Fox News, addictive soda, and Anonymous.
Now I apologize because the game is fine. I'm not really into like these type of beat 'em up, so I'm probably not the person you should make your buying decision off of if you already like these type of games. But one thing I will say, and this is a spoiler, so whatever, cut ahead if you want to. There is a fighting sequence in this game where you jump into a television and then you walk around on giant news graphics, like the actual graphics themselves that slide across the screen from the newscast. Mm. And then you jump through that into the equivalent of, like, the Matrix room with all the televisions, and you fight the holographic representation of the newscaster, talking into camera.
Okay, weird.
And that is great. That's when the game...
Yeah, there's some... Everything I've played in, like, the demos, like, do seem to have that cool... Like, there's this one cool segment where a news chopper is, like, filming you. Like, close to the beginning of the game, like, a news chopper is filming you from above, and your perspective is from the news chopper.
They actually cut that sequence from this boss fight.
Excellent. Yeah. Great.
I didn't see... Is that in the full game? I haven't seen it yet.
That's when you do this boss fight. Here's kind of something about these type of games that I've noticed, I guess just games in general, is the art design or the ideas of the art design is so great. Like... One of the levels is upside down because you're in the reflection of a tower and you're trying to get to the tower. You're like underwater. And that sounds awesome to me, like an entire city upside down. But for the most part, all the buildings are just like scaffolding. So they don't look a whole lot different upside down than they do right side up. And the way you know you're upside down more often than not is that the wooden boxes that would be on the floor are now on the ceiling.
And there's a train on the ceiling, too. Like, that happens.
Oh, what? Yeah, that does happen.
Like, I don't understand the complaint of, like...
He's just saying that they're empty, and...
The upside-down city isn't realistic enough for me.
Well,
like, it's not
I'm saying it
enough.
Would look much more interesting to me if it actually felt like I was going through...
It was like a full living room on the ceiling.
A full living city. Which is a complaint I have with so
like
many
Shenmue.
Games in general.
Like Shenmue, but upside down.
Well, no, just you're in cities in so many games, and they feel like they have never been lived in at all. And it's like, why am I fighting for this? Why
you
do
want
I
something
care
to
at
put
all?
Your to fix your free reactive eyes on?
Yeah, I just want to feel like this. I'm actually fighting for a real place, not like this is another room in which I do my combos.
Yeah,
because so really upside down Inaba is what you want, which you could do. You could just hold your PS Vita upside down.
Oh,
I am.
That's a good idea.
I'm about maybe 5 hours into this game, I am uniquely unskilled at these sorts of titles. Like, I am really incompetent.
Like Bayonetta. At,
like, anything where it's, like, stringing together combos. And I think I have a similar problem to this as I do to, as I do with, like, stealth games, where anything that's sort of scoring your progress as you go, even when I get through an encounter, I always feel like it's sort of this constant stream of negative feedback. Like, I constantly feel like I let the game down by not.
It's hard to feel awesome when the game is like, D.
D.
D for shit.
At the end of every level. Like, just, like, let me go into a menu and see how shitty I'm doing. Why do you have to slam it in my face?
Well, then you're just putting it off because you get to the end of the game like, yeah, I did it. And it's like, double F, shithead.
It's very demeaning.
Can anyone tell me, of the two people who've played it, from what I understand, the reason that everybody hates this game, it has to come down to one of two things. Either it's because he looks different, or the character is different, and the storytelling is different. And it's like, I played all the Devil May Cry games. He was not that great a character. Like, his whole thing is that he would kill guys and be like, jackpot. Like, what?
I couldn't get into the original games because of the character, because I found him so insufferable.
Hey, and Satan, come get a taste of sword pizza. Like, that's not very good.
Actually, this game is a little bit like, there are many, it's Ninja Theory who have made some really great story-based...
Enslaved.
Well, let me try again.
They've Ninja made Theory really made, great...
They've made one really great story-based game, if you could ignore some of the things that are in the game.
Right.
But, and so, like, there's definitely a they have a consistent tone. And though they have some great lines, there are some lines that are, like, not good at all. Like, I do not know how they made it past QA, really.
Well, like, QA wouldn't, yeah, we've got like, a bug guys, report. This line where he says jackpot, shitty. He says, do you want a slice of sword pizza? That's really bad.
No, it's not even that clever. It's like, there's a lot of, like, they say, someone says, are you Dante, son of Sparta? And he's like, yeah, but I prefer Dante the Demon Killer. Got a nice ring to it, don't you think?
Cowabunga.
Like, so he's still like a smart alecky asshole.
He has so many puns. It's not smart aleck, it's puns.
Oh.
It's like, so he's like Spider-Man. An elevator falls and he's like, going down.
He's Spider-Man.
Eat my shorts.
But then in another moment, he has this huge fight in a church. And he kills a bunch of people, and then he flies out the stained glass window and smashes it. And when he lands on the ground, his lady partner's there waiting for him. And he said, oh, that took forever. Church.
That's funny, because he doesn't like going to church.
There's like a joke, right? Like, and the other time, but other times it's like, who's getting on my stab moped to stab Stabston, lower new Stabston.
The best part about that church joke is he turns to the character in the game for approval. Like, it's like, church. And then right? There's like a pause on her, like, okay, did you get that?
Yeah. Will you keep stabbing things if I laugh?
I will say, probably too negative on it, because it is fun. It's a fun, like, brainless kill things. The boss fights are great. They're not quick time events. You're actually hitting things, but they still look cinematic, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, right.
And the weapons get crazy insane, which is, I guess, kind of the problem for me with these games. Maybe it would be better on like a second playthrough, is they get better once you have everything unlocked.
Yeah.
Because the beginning is so tedious. It's just, you have like a sword and you bash things over and over and over again. You can barely jump.
Let's prep for next week. Let's come up with a game plan.
That was our segue. No pun intended. That was a smooth segue.
I just don't want to talk about fucking DMC anymore. His hair is different, and I don't give a shit.
It's
anymore.
Not a game that I'm going to be playing.
His hair used to go down, and it was silver, and it was awesome, and they broke it.
It is a little bit like, do we not have enough video game protagonists that look like this guy. Like, could we not have one person who looks
but okay, like an old man? Like the original Dante was so original. Like,
what do you mean? I mean, I'm saying like a 20-something dude with like short dark hair and a leather jacket, like
as opposed to like a tall white guy with long white hair and mysterious features who carries a giant ass sword around. Like,
oh, name that's... one other than Sephiroth. Go,
fuck, you got me. Would this be fun if I read Metacritic user reviews?
Perhaps. Let's let the users weigh in. We never let them sort of have their say.
Zero. 0 points. I can't believe I paid $60 for this piece of garbage. Playing this game on Dante Must Die mode was about as hard as DMC4 on easy.
Oh my god.
I play games to be challenged, not to hold my hand. I could have forgiven this, only if the story wasn't such a predictable bore.
If you want to be I do not understand. I play games to be challenged.
1 out of 10. DMC Devil May Cry is a shameless reboot to a great franchise. This game has obscene violence and even a sex scene in it. Ninja Theory claim it's a Shakespeare-esque game, but in reality, it's a pitiful game. I can't believe it has a sex scene in it.
I mean, it sounded like he was describing every other Devil May Cry game. It has violence and a sex scene. And it's Shakespearean.
Okay, here we go. This is what I was talking about earlier. 0 out of 10. The game is a complete train wreck. Absolute garbage from beginning to end. The characters are idiotic. The writing is cheesy. The gameplay is slow and boring. And the frame rate is locked at 30 frames per second. I had more fun unclogging my toilet than playing this game.
Well, maybe you shouldn't take such big dumps.
How many frames per second, though, is the unclogging the toilet? Is it... It's seriously, 90. Like... There's not as many frames, and so you can't get those good, sweet combos. Is that really an issue that, like...
So I will say, in defense of these maniacs, I will say that when I play Call of Duty and when I play Battlefield, I can tell the difference because Call of Duty runs at 60 frames per second.
Yes.
And Battlefield runs at 30.
But that's 60 goddamn frames per second. That's like a shit...
Maybe the other Devil May Cry games were at 60.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
We're not talking about, like, fucking... super like pixel by pixel hitboxes in you know Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Like, it's a fucking beat 'em up.
So
I don't
I get it. The fans are saying playing this game is like jamming a rod through your urethra and having it come out your anus, basically.
I can see, like, I think the difference is, like, all the games that we just mentioned being like frames per second intensive, they're all competitive. And DMC doesn't have a multiplayer mode, does it?
No, but it has, like, probably has leaderboards that no one pays attention to except for 6 people.
But all these people left fucking reviews on Metacritic. There's so many. There's 366. Almost all zeros. Like,
well,
you're fucking killing me, guys.
Sad. Sounds like a good rental.
Yeah. Ugh. People say that. Where are you renting? Who is renting?
I go to a Hollywood Video.
Gamefly subscription?
Sure.
You gots to Gamefly. I got Ni No Kuni day one. It came out.
Big mistake.
You don't know that.
I do. I read the Polygon review.
It's a 6.5. That's not a bad review.
It's not a good one.
I
let's figure out what we are going to play. So you're going to play Ni No Kuni. That'll be fun.
I'll get that on you. I'm also reviewing...
Shit, guys. Can I talk about something that other people haven't played? I know that's breaking the rules, but I'm worried that we're not going to be able to talk about The Cave if I don't...
Oh, no. Let's talk about it next week.
Okay, is somebody else going to play it, though?
Probably not.
Fuck no.
Based on your description.
So should I maybe just talk about it for a little bit?
The show's already going pretty long.
Yeah, let's...
You can throw it at the end of next week. We'll keep bumping it.
No, we don't have a ton to go over next week.
Someone will have to explain to me after the show why we decided to talk about Temple Run 2 instead of, like, a real game.
Because a bunch of us had actually played it.
Yeah.
Gamers.
Next week, I'm going to try and get to Ni No Kuni. Has anyone else played it?
No. Oh, yeah, I played it at preview events. I can actually talk about it.
Okay. I'm also going to... I have to review Antichamber, which I know we want to talk
about. Oh, yes. And Plant is going to play Antichamber.
I think I want to play Strike Zoot Zero. I'd like it if someone else would play The Cave.
I don't...
It's a double
What is Strike
game
Zoot Zero?
That's a new... That's a mech...
It's a space mech indie game, isn't it?
Space mech indie game.
It looks Steam. It looks fucking dope.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Is it starring Big Bad Voodoo Daddy?
Sorry, no. It stars the Cherry Poppin' Daddy.
Okay, I didn't know what kind of zoot it was.
I really don't want to do this show with you anymore. So we'll play those games, and maybe I'll convince someone else to play The Cave.
If you got any suggesties, drop those suggesties right in the comments.
Oh, yeah, or tweet at us.
Or tweet them.
Yeah, either way.
We'll get to it.
And we'll take care of that next week and so much more. So be sure to join us for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends play the world's best games? Besties!